man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things.
These old boys and these old gals can do. Can't do. Can't do. Not can do. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to be those people who can do a lot of things with what's coming our way right now. And boy, what a challenging time to live in, you know? Why did you pick today to be alive? You know, you could have been alive. That's one thing I've been thinking about lately, is that as bad as things are right now, you know, we only have a direct experience of our own present life. That's the totality of our universe. And we read about other times, other places. We read about what our forebears lived through. And what I've been doing lately is trying to insert myself in those former times and imagining how bad was it? How awful was it for my forebears, your forebears? We all have this audience, probably pretty much the same forebears, but the same would apply to other peoples and their forebears. How awful was it at the worst moments of our history? And you know what? I can think of a lot of times that are a lot worse than the present moment. And so can you. I'll just take a few, like, off the top of my head randomly. Well, first of all, what the heck show are we in right now? This is, let us dispense with the preliminaries. This is the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm James Kelso. The name of the show is the Trump Phenomenon Show, dedicated to that phenomenon of our times, Trump. And it's a call-in show, so you can call in at 512-248-8252. I know I'm going to get that wrong one of these nights. And when I do, just call in or have the engineer tell me, you know, hey, Kelso, you slipped a gear. You forgot the number. Just a second here. Let me wet my whistle. All right. So that's who we are. And you can call in. And I have a message board over here. My apologies to my engineer. I missed three calls from my engineer. Shame on me. I was doing a brake job on my Pontiac. I was changing the rotors and the brake pads on a 2007 G6 Pontiac. And, it's going pretty well. Anyway, and in the middle of working on one of those rotors, I said, hey, wait a minute, what about my radio show? All right, so here we are, rushed up from the basement, and here I am. And I've got to wet my whistle one more time. So let us commence. Well, let me resume my thought. And I hope this will be cheering to you. It's encouraging to me. Let's just pick some times. I mean, really not well thought out, but let's just pick some times that were pretty bad. How about the American Civil War? Start with that one. The bottom number, I mean, the lowest possible number is 640,000 good Americans died in that horrendous slaughter. And I'm trying to remember what the full American population was in 1861. And of course, that slaughter concluded in 1865. So what was the population in 1865? It went down, probably went down from 1861 to 1865. But any of you that have a better command of numbers than mine at the moment, I think the total American population was under 20 million. Boy, that's embarrassing for me. I mean, I normally have great mastery of numbers, but it was the point being that the slaughter in the Civil War was horrendous. And it was like what we're experiencing today. I mean, so far, we're not experiencing bloodshed. We're not being slaughtered. We're not getting messages in the mail that, you know, your son has had his head blown off by a cannonade of grape shot, and all his limbs were severed in the same blast, and he was 19 years old, and he's your only son. We're not having that experience, but hundreds of thousands of American families had that experience. Now, the 640,000 number, I think that is subject to revisionist history, in that a lot of civilians who are not counted, I don't believe in that number. I believe that number is soldiers lost. But in Sherman's March to the Sea, I think he killed an awful lot of civilians. And there were other atrocities. Other fratricidal war in Kansas, in Missouri, in Tennessee, in Kentucky, border states, brother against brother, father against son. I mean, it's bad. That was our Civil War. And it was, I could go on and on reciting the horrors of that war. That's why I consider Lincoln not to be one of the great presidents. I consider Lincoln to be a monster, because the war was unnecessary. There was no need to have that entire war, that entire 4 years of unremitting slaughter throughout the country, from Texas to Virginia. Would it have been better? Was it worse to be alive with your son in the Army of Northern Virginia, or your son in the Union Army, General Meade's Army? Was it better to have your son on either side at Gettysburg or Chickamauga? Imagine if you had your son, and some of these families had two sons or three sons, at a place like Chickamauga or Bull Run. It was horrible. All right, well, pick other events. How about World War One? How about World War One if you're in the French Army or the British Army or the German Army? The Battle of the Somme. Hundreds of thousands of dead in the course of World War One. Again, it's been too many years that I was deep into statistics, but is the total of World War One slaughter somewhere around 20 million people slaughtered for, again, let me bring it out, nothing. Imagine the psychic stress. So imagine the psychic stress that you and I are under now with these turds that we call our government, these Mike Johnsons, these traitors, to our people, to our nation, to our Constitution, to our race, Imagine how painful that is for you. But imagine your ancestors. I presume most of you who are listening to me, or a lot of you anyway, you have ancestors that go back to the Civil War, go back to World War I. And I'll use the example of our revolution in just a moment. I'll keep it American for a while, but we could go to other, we could go abroad, and, you know, our people's history in Europe, the slaughters there, I believe, well, we already are, we're at the Battle of the Somme. What was World War I? What was World War I fought over? What was the casus belli? Why all those millions, with their heads blown off, their legs blown off, horrible deaths? I don't mean to make this, you know, traumatic or grisly, but it has to be to make, to drive home the point, which is that this isn't the worst time in history. My opening question was, why did you choose now to be born? And I think in some ways we're very lucky people, because we're at a very key moment and we're not having our heads blown off, unless you're Ukrainian or Russian. We're not being slaughtered. Pick another one, World War II. And imagine being in the Russian army in World War II. The Russians lost, and by the way, this has a lot to do with the war that's going on right now, is the collective memory of the Russian people of World War II, which they fought as no one else did. The French certainly didn't fight it. The British didn't. We didn't. We had 400,000, 400 and some thousand dead. That's a lot. A lot less proportionally than we had in the Civil War. That's still a lot of people. But the Russians had something like 20 million dead. A lot of them civilians. People with their heads blown off, tortured, you name it, burned alive, frozen to death. Or again, like a 4 or 5 year period, a 4 year period, just like the Civil War, kind of just like World War I. These spasms of insanity among our people. And these were all white people fighting white people, slaughtering each other. And not over a period of millennia. We have 1861, we have 1914, we have 1939. We're looking at, you know, we have one of these fiascos. That's less than a century. Three of them, less than a century. And there are others not included there. So, and then we can, those of you that are not white, you know, you can imagine your own histories, you know, in the Chinese Great Leap Forward. That's estimated to include the slaughter of Mao Zedong and the and his successors is considered to be the greatest slaughter of people in the history of the world, greater than World War II. That's people starved, shot, electrocuted, tortured, burned alive. So there you go with China. Then you can move around the world, these slaughters. So my point being that there are other times, well, let's go a little deeper in our history. Let's go a little further. I was reading up on the, in France, the wars between the Huguenots, and the Catholic crown in France. The slaughter there of the Huguenots by the Catholics and of the Catholics by the Huguenots is mind-boggling. And again, by the way, just as in World War II, the fight was over what? What is all this killing over? World War II was fought over nothing. Absolutely nothing. Didn't need to be fought. No need whatsoever. Adolf Hitler did not need to. On September 1st, 1939, he did not need to order the Wehrmacht into Poland. Sorry, Adolf, bad idea. The Japanese had no need to bomb Pearl Harbor. Franklin D. Roosevelt had no need whatsoever to stick, gouge his fingers as deep into the Japanese eyeballs as he could with his efforts to get a war started. By the way, notice how many Democrats started wars. World War I, World War II, but you know, I'll tell you what, Republicans got to take credit for the Civil War. And so there we go. So we can move this around the world, look at, if you want to talk about the worst times of possible, let's go to 1492, Columbus, who sailed the ocean blue. And the arrival of, a few years later, of Cortez in Mexico. Was that a good time to be alive? Watch the movie Apocalypto by Mel Gibson. Have you seen that movie, Apocalypto, by Mel Gibson? It's so politically incorrect that you probably haven't heard of it. And the deep state doesn't want you to hear of it. They certainly don't want you to watch it. Watch Apocalypto. And then say to yourself, by the way, the last scene of Apocalypto is a group of Mesoamericans who throughout the entire movie, not a word of English is spoken. They're speaking a version of a Mesoamerican language put together by Mel Gibson's historical researchers. And those Mesoamericans are seeing the white people from Europe arriving on the western shore of Mexico for the first time. They're seeing one of these galleons from Europe. And the message at the end of the movie is, what a hellhole Mexico was. What a hellhole of a place to live in, that Aztec or the Mayan, or for that matter, the Inca, so-called civilizations. It was nonstop torture, nonstop terror, nonstop brutality. It was the way of life. You literally drank your neighbor's blood. You literally ate and cannibalized the still warm severed head of your neighbor or the neighboring tribe, of their heads that rolled down the pyramid in Mexico City, and which you caught in a net at the bottom with your family sitting around your barbecue pot, in which you would throw that head, which was alive and looking at you only moments earlier. You throw that into the pot and enjoy that. Scoop out the brains. I know this is getting grisly, but that was 1492. Let's round it off to 1500. That was 500 years ago or thereabouts. Not that long ago. And we can go on and on and on with the horrors of, we can go to Genghis Khan and how he treated the cities that he conquered or fought, including European cities and European towns where every single man, woman, and animal and child was put to death by Genghis Khan. The great Genghis Khan. Oh, what a dude that guy was. Every single living creature brutally put to death. Millions of people. So was it better then or now? It's better now. So anyway, I'm going to stop with this because I could go on. If we did a show for the next 24 hours, I could, just from my own memory. And what do I know? I mean, I've read history. I wasn't there. That's the point. We weren't there. We'll talk about the immediacy of that right after this break.
Let's make a Ford and a Chevy. It'll still last 10 years like the show. Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar's cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. The best of the free life behind us now.
And are the good times, really over for good? You know, no, I don't think they are. And I'll give you another example. This is kind of a, you know, now I'll make it more personal. Are these the worst times ever? Now I'll, instead of speaking in general about history, our own and that of others, there have been times far worse than the present moment. I'll go with my own family, my own grandmother, my 9th great-grandmother. Were times worse for the Kelso family than they are right now? Well, let's see. Let's examine my 9th great-grandmother, who lived in a town called Salem, Massachusetts. She was born in the same county, Essex County in Andover, in 1643. Her name was Martha Allen. By the way, I hope, you know, it just occurred to me now, my favorite singer in the whole world is Kate Allen, otherwise known as Katie Wolf. I hope that Allen, my favorite, is related to my Allen, Martha Allen. Let's go to Martha Allen, born in 1643. She died in 1692 in Salem. It's my grandmother. Her blood flows in my veins through her son, Richard, who was 18 years old when his mother died. Richard, my eighth great-grandfather. So were times worse than they are now? Well, my mother, my grandmother, fortunately she had Richard when she was 31 years old, before she died at age 49, hanging from a tree. That's right. My ninth great-grandmother was hung from a tree and then thrown into, not really even covered up, just thrown into a ditch and left with like things like her hand and so on sticking out as carrion. This is a very fine woman, Martha Allen. Her husband, who had to watch this hanging, was Thomas Carrier. Do you have an air conditioner at your house? There's a very good chance it's a Carrier air conditioner. Well, it was Thomas Carrier's family that invented air conditioning. He's my grandfather. He didn't invent air conditioning, but his descendants did. He had to watch that. His wife being hung at age 49, her 18-year-old son, my eighth grandfather, watched her being hung. Why was she hung? You think the current moment is insane? You think it's completely out of control, completely nuts, mentally ill? My grandmother, a very, very good woman, Martha Allen, was hung as a witch on August 19th, 1692 in Salem, Massachusetts, along with the other witches that over a period of weeks and months were hung. One of them wasn't hung. One of them, they weren't burned. There was no burning in the Salem witch trials. And by the way, what are we having now? We're having witch trials. Only the witch is Donald Trump. They were all hung, except one was crushed under a heavy stone so that he couldn't breathe. This was a man, an old man, who was crushed as a witch. And the one of the leading citizens of the day they gathered to watch this insanity. Of course, there were no witches. Nobody was even remotely a witch or even a bad person. There were crazed little girls with a, also the inspiration of a black maid who was into voodoo, terrifying the local people, terrifying members of their church, that they were wrought with witches. They had to be killed. None of them were witches. And my grandmother, Martha Allen, before they put the rope around her neck and hung her, she said, "These children are insane." She had guts. We'll be back in a moment in these good times. The good times ain't over.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I've got so sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of
this. All right, we're back. And this is the James Kelso Philosophy Show. The Trump Phenomenon Radio Show. And I'm just philosophizing today, hoping to encourage you that these are not the worst times. And we're not much, and this is the thing, we're not present in the past. So we can't feel how bad it was viscerally. But if you try, you can get close to imagining these things. And so I gave you the example of my grandmother, Martha Allen, who I hope, by the way, is her Allen family are progenitors of Kate Allen, who sang under the name Kate Wolf. And I'll tell you what, I have right next to me an album of Kate Wolf that is signed by Kate Wolf in 1982, signed by her. It arrived yesterday. I can't tell you, this is like a sacred object to me. The three greatest singers in my mind, and these are all women who, they do make such beauty that I don't think existed when my grandmother, Martha Allen, was hung from a tree by crazy people. The three women that I worship for their creation of beauty are Kate Allen, or Kate Wolf, who undoubtedly very few of you have heard of, sadly. She died young at 44. She would have become much more famous. She died of leukemia at 44. I'll play just a second of her music. Listening to her is like going to heaven. The other two that you all have heard of are Alison Krauss and Emmy Lou Harris. And I'll play just a second of those two. And I urge you, steep yourself in the music of these three singers. It is to be transported to heaven to hear them. Here for a second, here's one you all know, Alison Krauss. Well, here's...
On piano, here's Mrs. Lindy Hart.
We'll start. I hit the wrong button. This is Emmy Lou Harris, a young Emmy Lou Harris. Unbelievable. She's going to be singing Tulsa Queen. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Just a few seconds so you can hear the beauty in her voice. And this is why we, as a people, we're going to preserve ourselves. We're going to make more Emmy Lou Harris's. We're going to make more Alison Krauss's and more Kate Allen, married name Wolf. I'm going to go through the... I'm going to get the opening chords here. She introduces her band. Here she goes. Listen to her. Just listen to this. This is like you're going to be transported to heaven. This is Emmy Lou Harris singing Tulsa Queen. You'll never hear a more beautiful voice. That's her guitar. Heaven.
Well, she's come a long, long way, got a longer way to go. So tell me how a train to Tulsa has got a right to know.
I hate to turn it down. Okay. And that's what I do. You know, what do I do when I want to pick myself up? I play songs like that, Emmy Lou Harris. Now, here's another one. This time, it's Alison Krauss. And I'm just going to play a snippet of Alison singing in Carnegie Hall, of all places. You have to watch this concert. Is that this concert took place in New York City. New York City. What they did at Carnegie Hall is they held a Grand Ole Opry night in which the Grand Ole Opry, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, moved to Carnegie Hall and performed. And Alison Krauss, unbelievable. Listen to Alison Krauss. Here she is. Who's more beautiful, Alison Krauss or Emmy Lou Harris? Or Kate Allen? Okay, here she comes. This is a treat. If you haven't heard this performance, you haven't lived yet.
Right from the Opry, asked if we would do an old Patsy Cline song. And I said, oh, geez. I'll catch a fish. And it's signed with love, just like it used to be.
God.
The only thing different, the only thing new. I'll catch a picture, she's got you. I've got the record that we used to share, and they still sound the same as when you were here. The only he's got.
Oh, once again, it's hard for me to turn the volume down. You will never hear a more beautiful voice than that, in my opinion. Alison Krauss holding her violin, her fiddle. And then I'm going to play one more for you to encourage. Oh, James, come on in, James.
Yeah, hi. It sounds like Kitty Wells. Today I discovered that Mark Levin, 77 WABC, knows who Edward Luttwak is. You know Edward Luttwak?
Yes. Yes.
You?
I mean, I know of him, sure. Yes. I've read stuff by him.
Mm-hmm. Give us a taste of what you read.
Well, we would have to consult brain cells that
Have you heard his article? Have you read his article, Give War a Chance? Did you read that one?
No, I didn't. But let me. I'm going to come back to that in just a second, and okay. I just want to greet you here coming into the show. I'm trying to give I'm making the point that as bad as it is, here we are. Yeah, give war a chance. We're on the verge of World War III. Boy, that'll be an exciting one. That'll be one to write home about.
Do you think you're going to go out there in your coach uniform, blow the whistle, and say, "Okay, you two sides, quit. It's no war, game over." Think that could happen?
No, World War III, of course, will be the end. It will be the end. But
what they say. But you know, life goes on.
Well, that's what's different here. Life doesn't go on, and
okay.
We're looking at the possibility of extinction, because once it starts, here's where Vladimir Putin is. Here's where he has been pulling his hair out for decades. Yeah. Is that the insane, warmongering American neocon globalists have pushed our missiles, their missiles, right up to the Russian border.
Yeah.
They've stationed nuclear-capable missiles in Poland, which is directly bordering Belarus and directly bordering Kaliningrad, which is Russia. They've staged these missiles in Romania, which is, you know, seconds away from Russia.
I have a question, Professor.
Well, now, hang on.
I have a question.
Okay, well, we'll take it. But the point is this. Those missiles, which are not yet hypersonic, because our American military is so far behind the Russians, who have hypersonic missiles, but hypersonic missiles are more than twice as fast as the missiles we currently have. But the current missiles we have are 10 minutes from Moscow. Hypersonics, when they go into the same missile silos or launching racks, hypersonics from launch to landing in Moscow is 5 minutes. So the reason Vladimir Putin is defending Russia against the insane Ukrainian government and the insane American government is that you can't have, Russia cannot have nuclear missiles that are 5 minutes from Moscow. 5 minutes, folks. Now, imagine World War III. Imagine this. You're Vladimir Putin, and you're sitting, you're just, you're reading a book, or you're reading the news. It's the middle of the night, because that's when World War III will happen. It'll happen in the middle of the night, 4 a.m. So, actually, maybe you're sleeping, huh, at 4 a.m. So, you're somebody rushes in, and of course, you know, the warmongering Americans know this. They know the time to strike is at 4 a.m. So, Joe, insane, criminal Biden orders a nuclear strike on Moscow and on Russia at 4 a.m. So they detect launch of missiles out of submarines over the North Pole, out of Poland, out of Romania, out of submarines in the Mediterranean. The radar lights up at command headquarters in Moscow. So it takes them about, let's say they're incredibly on their feet and incredibly astute, and within 1 minute they figured out we're under attack by nuclear missiles. They then rush in to awaken Vladimir Putin, who is not God. He doesn't just wake up in 1 second, but somebody yells at him, President Putin, we're being attacked. It's a nuclear attack. So what does he do? This is why you say you can't have missiles 5 minutes away from Moscow, because he now has 4 minutes in which to decide whether to launch 6,000 nuclear warheads. 6,000 he has. And that's the end of all of us, folks. That's the end of this show. That's the end of James in Vancouver. And that's the end of you and your children.
You never know. I got the Chinese to protect me here.
Okay.
I got Chinese to protect me.
Well, but the Chinese will launch too.
I live in Chinatown.
Yeah, and the Chinese will launch too. Because once they see... But here's my point. Get to my point. This is how bad this is. So Vladimir Putin's got 4 minutes before the missiles hit Moscow. He can't make his decision after they hit. He's going to be dead. So he has to make a decision. Okay, they're going to destroy Russia. We detect 2,000 incoming missiles. This is the end of Russia. This is the end of the Russian people. And are we going to fire back as our last, before we all die? Are we going to kill all those damn Americans? And Vladimir Putin, I'll tell you his decision. Yes. Yes. And he's going to order his entire military, fire every damn rocket we have, every submarine we have, and fire it on the damn Americans who are now going to erase life on Earth. And so we fired 4,000 nuclear warheads. Vladimir Putin will answer with 6,000 nuclear warheads. And now you mentioned the Chinese. What do you think Xi Jinping's going to do? He's not absolutely. Is he a paragon of stability, of sanity, of kindness? I don't think so. So he's looking at, okay, there are now 10,000. His military staff wakes him up and says, President Xi, there are 10,000 nuclear missiles flying in space around the world, all of them flying right now. What do we do? So what does Xi Jinping do? He's just going to sit there? No. Well, is he going to sit there and go, let's see how this turns out? Because he doesn't know where all these missiles are. I'll bet you some of the missiles are. Well, go ahead. Tell me, what's he going to do?
In Chinese, we say Zhoushan Guan Hu Dou. Zhoushan means sit on the mountain. Guan Hu means watch the tigers fight. So he's going to do nothing, and he's going to let the Americans and the Russians blow themselves up. That's what the Chinese will do.
Very possible. But then there's a sequel to that. When 10,000 nuclear warheads explode within a period of an hour, 10,000 nukes, life on Earth is over. There will be a nuclear winter where the sky will be so black, no plant on planet Earth can survive. Not a leaf will survive. The sky will be black. There will be no sun that reaches the Earth, anywhere on Earth, anywhere on the planet. I don't care if you went to Tierra del Fuego. You're a dead man if you're in Tierra del Fuego, which is at the bottom of Argentina
I have
and
my
Chile.
Question still.
Well, but,
still
but now hang on. Life is over for the Chinese as well. By the way, all those nukes that hit Russia, China's right there. So all of that fallout, all of those clouds will come right over Russia, but it will circle the Earth. There's no place to be safe. There is no safe. If 10,000 nuclear weapons, some of which are more than 1,000 times the power of Hiroshima or Nagasaki go off in 1 hour, there is no life left on Earth. No dog can live on Earth. Be very lucky if if insects survive.
I know, for example, that the people, the military in Taiwan and the military in China have dug deep tunnels into the mountains there.
And that's where they'll die. That's where they'll die.
but I have my question.
Now, hang on just a second. Let me check my time here. Okay, let's take a break. Let's take a break right now, folks. Yeah.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to dixierepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to T-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123 at gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back, folks, and we only have a couple minutes left, but let me close this, and I want to end with the optimistic note that I began the show in, because this is pretty pessimistic, but, you know, before, interspersed with Vladimir Putin's, you know, 20 years as the leader, which is traditional in Russia, they don't change out leaders every couple of years the way we do. They go for permanence. Vladimir Putin was succeeded by Dmitry Medvedev. And then Vladimir Putin came back into the presidency. But Dmitry Medvedev said this about the Americans and the French who are toying with World War III. Medvedev said, he labeled the French diplomats who were talking about putting the French army in Ukraine. Scum, bastards, and freaks. Then, more recently, talking about after Mike Johnson's betrayal in Congress, $61 billion to amp up the war in Ukraine, Dmitry Medvedev, who was once president, and he's now one of the highest, most powerful people in the Soviet legislature, Dmitry Medvedev called the U.S., he said, these people who did this, like Mike Johnson, are U.S. bastards. Now, this is a man who had his finger on the red button. And that 4 o'clock attack, now you mentioned that the Chinese will be hiding underground and they'll survive this nuclear winter. They won't.
They will.
Well, no, first of all, nobody's going to send them a postcard telling them when the war is going to start. Remember, you have 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes to think about it.
Because
so they're sleeping.
They've got people all over the world.
Yes, they'll be people underground. They will have some people underground.
Unlike we Westerners, they're different.
Okay, they will have some people underground. We'll have some people underground too. But let me get to my point about how bad this is.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody survives.
Right.
Because the nuclear winter lasts more than 10 years. More than 10 years. There's no plant life. I don't care how deep you were underground. When you come to the surface, there is no plant life living. There is there are no animals. You eat up your food stocks. There's no clean water.
If that's true what you're saying, then why didn't Netanyahu fire at the Iranians in Syria? See, these are the questions that come up. War is not so simple. See, Netanyahu.
Well, here is something that is simple. This is simple. And Donald Trump got it right. Donald Trump has it right. He says nuclear war is don't even mention it. Don't even use the word, because nuclear war will be more horrible. And Donald Trump got this right. More horrible than any of you imagine. Almost no one comprehends how horrible a nuclear war would be. It would mean, and forget about the people, who gives a rat's ass about
but
the
you
people.
See, they wouldn't let him be president. The point.
Well, hang on. Who gives a rat's ass about some, you know, small handful of people 2 miles underground who might survive? We'll all be dead. You'll be dead. I'll be dead. And everyone listening to this show will be dead.
No, I plan to survive.
Okay.
I plan to survive.
Okay, well,
you didn't read my book.
We'll talk.
I wrote a book on medicine. You haven't read it yet.
Hang on, we're getting the curtains. The curtain's dropping on us. We're not going to survive that, James. So we'll see. We'll continue this discussion tomorrow, and I'll get back to that wonderful music. I'll play a little more of it tomorrow night to cheer you up. See you then.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.